Otis Friend, 39, left work on the morning of Friday, May 1st, expecting nothing more than a routine compliance check with federal immigration agents, a quick trip to confirm he still lived where he said he lived, still worked where he said he worked. He walked toward his Willits home near the charter school where he is employed. Six ICE agents were waiting. By nightfall, he was shackled in the back of a van, headed to Bakersfield with no phone, no wallet, and no change of clothes. By Saturday, he was free, released on a federal court order. What happened in between has shaken a community and left immigrants across the North Coast wondering whether any immigrant is safe, even those doing everything the government asks of them. ICE says Friend is an illegal alien subject to a removal order. His family says he held a valid work permit and a court order protecting him from deportation at the time of his arrest. Both may be telling the truth. That distinction is at the heart of what happened. ICE's San Francisco field office confirmed the arrest in a statement to this reporter. Quote, ICE San Francisco arrested illegal alien Otis Nicholas Friend, 39, of Jamaica, May 1st, without incident near his residence in Willits, California, end quote, said Public Affairs Officer Jason Sweeney. Quote, Friend entered the United States illegally at an unknown time and place and has a final order of removal issued by an immigration judge in 2024. He was released from ICE custody May 2nd following a district court order from the Northern District of California, end quote. ICE's statement noted a final order of removal, but made no mention of a withholding order. Under U.S. immigration law, both orders can result from the same court proceeding. A judge can order removal and simultaneously grant a withholding, barring deportation to a country where the person faces danger. Friend's cousin and Willits attorney, Colby J. Friend, disputes key elements of ICE's account. Colby said Friend crossed the southern border without prior authorization in 2022 to seek asylum, a process permitted under both U.S. and international law, regardless of how a person enters the country. He was detained by border authorities, held in a detention facility in Arizona, bonded out for $10,000 by his family, and awaited his immigration court hearing while living in the U.S. Colby said ICE's claim that Friend's entry time and place are unknown is inaccurate. Quote, they know because he walked in, they put him on a bus and drove him to a detention center, end quote, Colby said. Quote, that's all part of his paperwork, end quote. In 2024, according to Colby, an immigration judge granted Friend a withholding of removal under the Convention Against Torture, a form of protection that bars deportation to a person's home country when they face credible danger there. According to the American Immigration Council, unlike asylum, withholding of removal does not provide a path to permanent residency or citizenship. Any person granted withholding may never leave the United States without triggering their removal order. Quote, he's not an illegal alien anymore. He's a legal alien, Colby said. ICE disputes that characterization. In a follow-up statement, Sweeney said a valid work permit, quote, does not confer any form of lawful status or prevent ICE from arresting or deporting an alien from the country, end quote, describing it as a discretionary benefit that does not affect immigration status. Otis Friend has volunteered as a soccer coach for Mendocino County youth since he came to the U.S. seeking asylum. If he's deported to a third country, quote, all these kids will miss a mentor and coach and a positive leader in their lives, end quote, a soccer parent shared via the Friend family. To understand why Friend's arrest hit Willits the way it did, it helps to know how he got here and what he left behind to do it. Friend was a professional footballer in Jamaica, well known enough that his team qualified for an inter-Caribbean championship that brought them through Florida. That success earned him a rare 10-year B1 visa, allowing him to visit the United States for up to 6 months at a time, Colby shared. Around 2018, he used that visa to visit his father, then accepted an invitation from Colby to come to California. What happened next surprised everyone, Colby said. Friend played pickup soccer in the backyard, then in the local men's league, and was so far above the competition that Colby took him to Mendocino College, where the coach immediately wanted him on the team. Word spread. Coaches began recommending him for higher level clubs. He was eventually offered a spot on the Laredo Heat, which Colby described as one of the top amateur soccer programs in the country, complete with a car, an apartment, and a stipend. With his visa nearing its end, Friend made what Colby now calls the right call, and the one that cost him everything for a while. He was afraid that if he went back to Jamaica, he would never get back to the U.S. Colby advised him to return anyway, gather his paperwork, and apply through proper channels. Friend listened. He went back. The visa application was denied. Colby said the U.S. Embassy flagged his attempt to also obtain a visa for his son. The door closed. And the situation in Jamaica, where Colby said Friend faced personal danger, made staying feel impossible. So Friend did what tens of thousands of people do every year when legal channels fail them. He crossed the southern border, presented himself to border authorities, and asked for asylum. After roughly a year and a half of court proceedings, an immigration judge granted him withholding of removal under the Convention Against Torture, according to Colby. He settled in Willits. He got a job at a local charter school. He coaches youth soccer, referees matches at multiple levels, and plays in the Mendocino County Men's League, where Colby said he has won the MVP award twice. His work permit had just been renewed approximately 2 weeks before his arrest. Quote, he's been a functional member of the community, end quote, Colby said. Quote, he doesn't have so much as a traffic ticket. Not here, not in Jamaica, end quote. Friend had been checking in with ICE's San Francisco office every 6 months, a reporting interval Colby said was reduced from once a year under the current administration. By Colby's account, those check-ins had been unremarkable. Colby said the agents at the San Francisco office were professional and courteous. Friend had no reason to think May 1st would be different. ICE agents called that morning to say they were coming to his residence for a compliance check. He was at work. He said he'd meet them there. It was close. He left the school and walked over. According to Colby, agents physically restrained Friend against a fence and handcuffed him before he reached the door. Colby and Friend's wife ran out and repeatedly demanded to see a warrant. Agents told them they had one and would discuss it, Colby said, but placed Friend in a vehicle and left, only briefly showing the paperwork to his stunned family. What they showed, Colby said, was not a judicial warrant. Under the Fourth Amendment, warrants must be supported by probable cause and signed by a judge. Administrative warrants, issued internally by immigration agencies, have been found by federal courts to not carry the same legal authority. Colby said the document lacked an affidavit or any supporting application. Word spread fast. Phones started ringing across Mendocino County, at the sheriff's office, at community organizations, among immigrant families who had been watching enforcement actions play out across the country and wondering when it would reach them. Here was their answer. Mendocino County Sheriff Matt Kendall said his office was not notified of the operation in advance and under state law has limited ability to coordinate with federal immigration enforcement regardless. Quote, any time that federal agents come into Mendocino County, everyone keeps associating them with ICE, end quote, Kendall said. As usual, his office filled in a surge of calls from residents, from advocates, from people wanting to know what local law enforcement knew and what it was doing about it. The answer, Kendall said, was not much and not by accident. Under California's SB 54, the California Values Act, local law enforcement agencies are prohibited from using resources to investigate, detain, or arrest people for immigration enforcement purposes. That law, Kendall said, has effectively ended routine coordination between his office and ICE on immigration matters. Quote, folks seem to think that there is some magic that happens between the sheriffs and immigration, and there isn't because that's been legislated away, end quote, Kendall said. For residents expecting the sheriff to have answers or to intervene, that was a hard reality. Kendall said he has urged federal agencies conducting operations in the county to have their own public information officers ready to respond to the public, rather than leaving local law enforcement to field questions about actions it had no information about. Without advanced knowledge of the operation or direct communication with ICE officials, Kendall could offer little beyond broad guidance to a rattled community. For those concerned about the legality of what happened to Friend, he offered this, quote, "Everybody gets their day in court," end quote. For those tempted to confront agents directly, as videos of tense ICE encounters have circulated widely on social media in recent months, his message was equally plain. Do not interfere with state, federal, or local law enforcement in the carrying out of their duties. Friend was transported to Bakersfield. Colby said he was shackled with chains connecting his wrists to his waist and down to his ankles, seated on a metal bench in the back of a van. Stops were made along the way, Colby said, but Friend was not offered water or a restroom break. ICE said in its follow-up statement that transport standards require safe and humane treatment of all people in custody and that restraint procedures follow agency policy. Meanwhile, an attorney retained with the help of the Rapid Response Network was working fast. A habeas corpus petition and a temporary restraining order were filed on Friend's behalf in the Northern District of California. A federal judge granted both, according to Colby. Friend was released on May 2nd, less than 24 hours after his arrest. According to Friend's wife, when agents were asked why they were taking Friend, the agent's response was that Friend had not done anything wrong. His name had simply come up in the alphabetical order they were processing cases. ICE disputed that account. Quote, "ICE does not conduct enforcement actions based on alphabetical lists," end quote, Sweeney said in a follow-up statement. Quote, "Enforcement actions are guided by federal law, agency priorities, and operational tasking," end quote. What ICE did tell the family, according to Colby, was where they planned to send him, St. Kitts, a Caribbean island nation, not Jamaica, the country where Friend's withholding order was grounded. ICE's apparent position, Colby said, was that a withholding order tied to danger in a person's home country does not bar removal to a safe third country. Sweeney confirmed that position in his follow-up statement. Quote, "The individual was granted a withholding of removal to his home country by an immigration judge, and ICE is required by law to seek an alternative country for removal," he said. St. Kitts and Nevis signed a Memorandum of Understanding with the United States in January 2026, agreeing to accept certain third country nationals, specifically Caribbean community, CARICOM citizens without violent or sexual criminal backgrounds. St. Kitts Prime Minister Terrence Drew confirmed that the financial costs of the arrangement would be borne by the United States. The specific dollar amount for the St. Kitts agreement has not been made public. St. Kitts is part of a much larger and more extensive web of deals, according to a February 2026 Senate Foreign Relations Committee minority report. The United States provided at least $32.3 million to five foreign governments in direct connection to agreements to accept third country nationals, spent at least $7.2 million on flights to move migrants to at least 10 third countries, and spent $307,000 to house deportees on a U.S. military base in Djibouti. Bloomberg reports an estimated $133,333 cost on average per person deported. And in Rwanda, which received seven deportees, the total cost reached about $1.1 million per person. ICE memos have instructed agents to identify and detain immigrants granted withholding of removal and protection under the Convention Against Torture, people with final removal orders who could not be deported to their country of origin, so that they could be deported to a third country. Friend, if the federal court had not intervened, fit that profile exactly. According to Third Country Deportation Watch, which tracks third country removals, the transfers have separated families, cut people off from their communities, and in some cases resulted in detention without charges or removal to countries where deportees face harm. Ongoing U.S. litigation is likely to ultimately determine the legality of the Trump administration's third country deportation agreements. For now, though, Friend has been released. But he is not free of the process. ICE says he still faces a removal order and has been asked to report for deportation. His next court hearing is scheduled for May 14th. The fear that followed Friend's arrest was evident in social media postings. Across Mendocino County and beyond, immigrants who have been complying with every requirement, check-ins, work permits, court orders, renewals, began asking the same question. If it could happen to him, could it happen to us? Friend's case, in some ways, a worst-case illustration of the anxiety that has been building in immigrant communities since enforcement priorities shifted under the current administration. He was not accused of a crime. He was not hiding. He was not evading the system. He was, by his family's account, doing exactly what the immigration system asked of him, and he still ended up shackled in the back of a van. ICE, for its part, has encouraged people in the country without legal status to use the CBP Home app to self-deport, offering $2,600 and a free flight to those who leave voluntarily. Quote, "We encourage every person here illegally to take advantage of this offer and reserve the chance to come back to the U.S. the right legal way to live the American dream," end quote, Sweeney said. Quote, "If not, you will be arrested and deported without a chance to return," end quote. However, many don't trust what they see as broken agreements. Those in the process or under protective order being arrested with no notice and sent to a country they may have never been to. Friend's wife says there are resources to help. She acknowledged the assistance provided by the Rapid Response Network and encouraged other immigrants to reach out to their local chapter. What Friend's case illustrates, his family says, is that the line between here illegally and here legally is not always as clear as that message implies, and that for some people, the process of trying to do it right can still end with six agents and a pair of handcuffs. Reporting for KMA News, I'm Lisa Music.